All right.
Okie dokie, we're good? We are on?
We are abiding being.
Good. We're good? All right. Number six.
Abiding being.
Abiding being. Life care professionals today must combine accurate tests and diagnostic procedures with an understanding of how your attitudes, emotions, reactions, and responses, and especially the images of yourself in life.
This is an overture.
Yes.
Don't want me to read that?
What?
Do you want me to read it?
Yeah, but I'm just telling you that you're reading an overture.
Okay.
Yes.
And your role in the universe establish and maintain your illnesses.
Establish and maintain your
illnesses, disgusts, and afflictions in your mindful body self. So I don't know what disgust is there.
I'll start what you talk about.
And emergent life. Do you want me to read all that again?
God, I hope so.
Life care professionals today must combine accurate tests and diagnostic procedures with an understanding of how your attitudes, emotions, reactions, and responses, and especially the images of yourself in life, and your role in the universe, establish and maintain your illnesses
and afflictions.
And afflictions in your mindful body self and emergent life. Beyond relieving your pains, discomforts, and symptoms, you and healthcare professionals must understand and apply corrective and preventative life care measures which deal directly with the loner body self and life you are living and struggling against, and the eternal self and life you truly desire. Make no mistakes. Though there seem to be an infinite number of diseases and afflictions, the conflict between the mortal self you are living on and the eternal self you desire is the real and only illness in your body and life. 7. If you are attempting to discover the reason and cause of your problems and illnesses, you are using the pathogens of a god and nature, using fate and using your own genes as scapegoats to relieve you of responsibly living your eternal abiding self and life. When will you stop blaming everything around you for your own attitudes and shortcomings and the distorted images of yourself and life and of the universe you are living and struggling against? Abiding beings. 1. Long ago and far, far away, and even in distant lands on earth, not so far away, there were places where people believed all things are divine, and physical is merely an illuminated form of spiritual or abiding. And all individuals are divine in their own authority, and no one has authority over any other person. 2. In abiding communities, children were made aware of the divine come-alive gifts of a body, self, and life, which enabled them to come alive and live by their own authority, and regenerate those gifts as they truly desired them to be eternally. All children were also given a god, a symbol of inspiration, similar to a vision quest today, to guide and enliven them. And because these people lived long and prospered in living by their own authority, they were known as the abiding ones. 3. Many centuries later, the ways of these ancient people were memoried and briefly brought to life again, as described in the Bible in Judges 21, verse 25. In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. But unfortunately, this quickly deteriorated in Israel to be replaced by the authority of God, as was the custom. But this ancient life as an abiding being is still available to you today should you choose to live long and prosper by your own authority. 4. Living your mortal loner body self and life today leaves you living and dying at the level of animals. But fortunately, you are a privileged being who can regenerate your loner body self and life as an abiding being and live long and prosper by your own authority again. 5. Your life today is not really about spiritualizing the physical world, discovering God, or becoming one with God. Nor is it about bringing God alive in the worldly universe today. For the universe is so plenary that it is as it is, and simultaneously is as you and all others are as well. God's calling.
Yes, we're good.
Sure. Okay, so, for the universe is so plenary that it is as it is, and simultaneously is, and you all other, as you and all others are as well. In this, you can continue living your perishable body self and life that was created for you as a come-alive gift, and struggle eternally to become who you truly desire being. Or, since your come-alive self and life enables you to participate in the world around you and know and experience yourself in life, you can regenerate or rebirth yourself as the abiding being you truly desire being and living eternally. Isn't that marvelous and exciting? Do not listen to God's deceivers and despoilers attempting to mislead you and destroy your authority. 6. Are you willing to regenerate your loner body self and life to abiding, to be and live as an abiding being? You are abiding, but you don't seem interested in being and living your personal authority as an abiding being. Why do you suppose that is? Is it possible you would rather live your fantasy hopes and dreams and intentions of becoming abiding than actually live as an abiding being today and maybe discover you are not as extraordinary as you hope and dream? Or just find you are not as all-wise and happy as you expected? Nor as self-realized? Is it possible that nothing can hold up to your hopes and expectations? Does it seem wiser to rely on your dreams and intentions than on knowing the truth of yourself? Don't bet on it. For you as an abiding being are far greater and are to be more inspired and fulfilled and vivified than you can even imagine. Living as an abiding being is not as though you are to knock on a door and it will be open to you. It is that the whole world has been knocking to be let in. But unfortunately, until now, you held the world out as a way to focus on spiritual self-discovery and spiritual awareness, and even on self-realization. And in that, you have forsaken your abiding way of living and lifing by your own authority as an abiding being. Actually, like Esau, you sold your abiding birthright for a mess of pottage, a mixture of feelings and emotions, to live as a loner being. 7. Letting the world in is not a matter of giving to others or doing for others. It is letting the world into your life. And it begins by answering each knock at the door. Are you willing to let these awarenesses into your life and live as an abiding being? 8. Of course, if you are willing to let the world in to serve you, then you should also consider creating the serving world you truly desire and decide how you are to be served. Or does that seem like too much trouble? or too much to expect of you? Is it possible you are struggling to cope with the world simply because you won't answer the door and let the world you desire into the world around you? Your abiding self and life is the self and world you truly desire. 9. You have imprisoned yourself in a loner self and world that is not even you or yours, and have refused to come out or let the world in. Why do you suppose that is? 10.
It's like you've imprisoned yourself in a loner body and world. But before, we were given it as a gift to, you know, to find our eternal self, to polish into our eternal self. So we're working on it, even though we're not. Totally refused.
I'm tired of hearing all this shit. You're doing things even though you're not doing things. You're doing things only when you're fucking doing things. So don't tell me that subconsciously and under it all, these things are going on. They're not. If you don't do them, they ain't happening. You just guys, so you keep on living what you're doing and everything will come out all right. It fucking won't.
Just trying to make this.
No, you're trying to make it fit what you wanted it to mean.
Not as hard.
I've heard it 1,000 times in 1,000 different ways. And that's what you're trying to do.
Carry on?
Yeah.
10. Following is an abiding manuscript first discovered in the 1880s. It is an early manuscript that was used to instruct children and young adults in the ways of abiding. It was also given to those who came to abiding communities seeking knowledge. But this translation is made to accommodate the form and structure of today's language, because a direct word-for-word translation of abiding would not make sense, much sense to you today.
Abiding beliefs, principles, and ways.
The concept of the authority of self arose and thrives in abiding communities because we have no gods to despoil us. We honor abiding individuals who were exalted and revered as supremely good or great. Of course, this began in an era as a way of life that existed centuries ago, but is still available today. The authority of man does not mean the authority of some men. It is about the authority of every man and woman, for all people are deities in their own life. Therefore, to truly understand and live the authority of man, or self, as an abiding being today, you must realize all of your abilities and doings. For believe it or not, as you act and the universe reacts to faithfully transfigure your every action, the universe is actually living every aspect of yourself and life as you do. Therefore, if you want to continue being awarefully and abidingly alive as you desire, you must live and life as the abiding being you truly desire being today, so the universe can live with you and memory that particular abiding being for you to download in the future. And the universe guides that to you.
Gives that to you.
The universe gives that to you. God does not. No matter what you are doing, you are only doing your beliefs. God and holiness does not exist as a fundamental nature of the universe or of each person. So, who or what are you? And why have you come alive, do you know? It is frequently said that we have grown to be abiding because of our universal ability to reason properly and clearly, and that is true. But that isn't all. We are abiding because of imaginative minding, which is the power to conceive directly or to see and know by simultaneously using more than one sense, such as seeing sound or hearing space. Imaginative minding gives us the power to know, live, and show that as abiding beings, we are certainly much, much more than what it seems we are. And so are you, more than what we previously sensed ourselves down to be. Imaginative minding is expansive and extensive minding without, not within. We are also able to process much finer or more subtle data information than normal. To those of you who are seeking, we offer you the following vision, which hopefully you will understand and frequently mind imaginatively. A student came to an abiding teacher with an empty cup, asking that the wise men give him just a little of his great abiding wisdom, so the student could then share that with all whom he met in life. "But why have you come with an empty cup?" the teacher asked. "So you could fill it as it please you," the student replied. "I want to show you that I am prepared and that I have emptied myself of false beliefs." "And if I fill your cup, to whom will you then offer a drink of my abiding wisdom? And must they also have an empty cup?" "Of course, for I cannot help those who are filled with their own false beliefs. They must prepare themselves as I have done for years before approaching you. Take your cup and fill it at the cesspool over there," the teacher said, pointing to a pond of putrid water. The student didn't want to dirty his cup, and he was certainly afraid his teacher would ask him to drink the foul water as a ceremony or test, or as an initiation, which didn't seem too pleasant. But he was willing to endure almost any trial or indignity to have this abiding wisdom. The student rushed to the cesspool and, searching carefully, filled his cup with the worst water he could find, hoping that would impress the teacher with his great trust and sincerity. Hurrying back to his teacher, the student fell upon his knees and held out his cup so his teacher could see the putrid water. Then slowly, without flinching, he raised the cup to his lips to drink. "Wait," the teacher said quietly yet forcefully. "Hold your cup out to me," he commanded. As the student held his cup forward, the teacher picked up a large pitcher next to him and began pouring the contents into the student's cup, which immediately overflowed, soaked his sleeve, and spilled on the ground. After many moments of this, the teacher, having poured the last drop from his pitcher, commanded the student to drink. And the student, certain he was being tested, probably with a nasty solution, or maybe it's hallucinogenic, slowly drank from his cup and found, surprisingly, he was drinking the sweetest, most refreshing liquid he had ever tasted. "Do not limit your abiding wisdom to one cupful," the teacher said quietly. "For as long as you hold out your mind, I will flood you with all I have until, like this cup, your abiding self overflows completely and offers whatever you truly desire. What is your image of the universe and of yourself? And what is your role in that universe? Whatever your images are, if they do not inspire and enliven you and directly enhance every aspect of your daily life and activities, those images will painfully discontent you and quickly destroy the self and life you truly desire." Two. In a later manuscript, this story continued. Then, without a word, the teacher took the seeker to a nearby river and waded waist-deep into the icy water, and without any warning, the teacher, in a single motion, whirled around and forced the seeker's head under the water and held it there, And despite the seeker's desperate struggles to get free, the teacher held on tightly. Finally, when the seeker's lungs were about to burst, the teacher brought his head to the surface, where the seeker gulped in the life-giving air. After a brief moment of recovery, the teacher asked, "While I had held you under water, what did you want most of all? Was it my abiding wisdom and your own continuing in life?" "What did I want? I wanted air. Nothing else matters. But I had to get free of your grasp." "That's certainly true," the teacher declared. "And when you want my wisdom and continuing life as strongly as you wanted air, you will have them. But you must free yourself from the deadly grip that God and death and languaging have upon your mind. Just as I grasped your head, abiding beings know they have live limits and problems and even illnesses into their body and life. But there is no fault or judgment in this." "In teaching others," the guru declared, "be perfect in your words as I am with you. And if you cannot be perfect, do the very best you can and hold nothing back. Do not remain in one community. Gather your students from the ends of the earth. Always be open and honest, and avoid magic or trickery, for what you have to say is more important even than you are. If this is too much, do not begin. Remember, you asked to learn our ways. We did not call you. Are you willing to be born anew and offer a rebirth to others? Being alive is far different than you ever imagined or allowed yourself to imagine. No amount of spiritual teachings will ever guide you as well as abiding this will." The teacher was getting excited and breathless, but of course he was still standing in the stream up to his waist in cold water. "You have an ever-creative mind. Use it," the teacher shouted. Could shout that. The teacher shouted as loudly as he could. Then, coming out of the cold stream, the teacher said to the student, "Teach only what I teach you, for abiding must continue unchanged and certainly must not be lessened. So baptize others as I have baptized you."
Those are pretty demonstrative. Especially the gulping for air.
Yeah.
When you want that as much as you want
air.
Then you're really, that's when you really seek it properly.
Uh-huh.
All of this stuff, you just ho-hum it. You just ho-hum it. It doesn't really matter. Won't change your life. You don't give a shit. But if you held your head underwater, you would give a shit.
The thing is, must you drown in your own lives before you finally
Yes.
come up?
You know, the question is, why must you drown in your own life before you'll do anything?
This is where we're probably going to break until later on.
Oh, yeah.
So that they can go get you pizza.
Sure, I believe that.
You believe that? It's true. Okay. The beer's in the fridge.
What?
The beer is in the fridge.
Yeah, sure, I believe that. How can there be a beer in their fridge?
You don't believe it, Roger. You just don't believe it.
see all the beer he brought.
Yeah.
So we'll pick up with a view of abiding.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I kind of thought it was because.
I forgot we take breaks.
That's eat. No,
I'm full. That's not it. Yeah, actually, I did well today on that one.
Where are you going to get the pizza and all that?
Costco.
Are we going to bake it here, like?
Hmm?
Is it bake here?
Yeah, we're going to go.
Oh, yeah.